a scattered church that they began in Jerusalem, where the Pharisees were the ones who taught in the synagogues, or we see in the Gospels, right, where Jesus as a boy goes in and says something in the temple. He speaks, right? And he wasn't a rabbi, but on the most part, rabbis were the ones who were teaching in the synagogues. But when these people are dispersed, even in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, Jesus had talked to the people saying, watch out for the false prophets. Watch out for the people who are dressing one way, right, and yet not speaking truth. Well, then when they leave, we don't even really know what the leadership setup is like as they are dispersed. We don't know if they had some teachers go to each location. We don't know if they were trained by the apostles. We don't really have a lot of information, but what we do have is James, and we have also Paul giving sets of standard for leadership. And basically, I think, you know, James here is saying, don't just listen to someone who's rich. Just don't listen to someone who has influence, right? Don't just listen to anybody who calls themselves a teacher. Here is a standard by which you can know that someone is a teacher, is that they're going to be a mature person who holds their tongue, right? That they don't allow their tongue, which for some of you who did the backup lesson or looked into the Timothy and the Titus verses, saw consistency in that, right? A leader is someone who's sober, who controls their tongue, right? I mean, above all the people who should be able to hold their tongue should be a church leader, number one, because your problems are not known to anybody else. And that is true at Calvary Bible Church. I was sharing with my group, some people assume that I know things because my husband's the pastor, and that's not true. It's never been true. It's never been true. He's an elder. I don't know. I don't, because sometimes women will come to me and say, well, you know about whatever. And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. If you want to talk to me about it, that's fine, but I don't know. I don't know anything. And so, a teacher, an elder, you know, these are people by their lifestyle, right, qualifies them to do this task. So their life should be consistent with what they teach. So that's just the broader context. But that doesn't mean that this passage doesn't apply to us. And so how many of you, asked my group this already, how many of you are teachers in this room? Everybody should raise their hands. How many of you have children in this room? Okay, you are teachers, right? You're not in a public setting. Okay, you are not in a public setting, but you are teachers. If you bring God's word to your children, you are teachers. If you bring God's word to other people that you don't know, you are, in a sense, teaching, right? So this passage applies to all of us. In that our tongue, right, with it we bless God and curse men, right? That the whole point is that there should be a consistency between what you say and how you live. There should be consistency. And so he gives all the illustrations, and those are wonderful illustrations. And those illustrations should be used to bring hope and to bring remembrance about the gospel, right? Because when Christ does a work in you, he changes your heart, right? You have a river of life in you. And because of that, you are able to bring words of life and hope and healing, right? You are a tree that is now can bear good fruit. And because of that, you can speak words that are consistent with a believer, with Christ himself. You have the power, right, through Christ in you to control your tongue. You can tell yourself, I have a wild animal in me and it wants to let loose, right? But because of Christ, Christ has the power to keep it locked. Christ has the power to keep it locked. You tell yourself those things. These are the pictures James is giving us to remind us, right? My rudder, right, has the ability to do damage or travel a course that is bad, or the rudder has the ability to lead the ship to somewhere very wonderful. Ladies, you have a distinct privilege to, with your words, lead your children, right? And bless your husband in a way that no one else can, right? The rudder, you have that, in a sense, that influence that no one else has. And that can be a blessing. And I hope that you can pray that the Lord will give you that excitement, that by blessing your children, by speaking grace to them, by speaking truth to them, right, in kindness, even in correction, in kindness, that you were leading them on a path to somewhere beautiful, right? To the Lord. You're leading them to the Lord. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a privilege, right? Only in the power of Christ. So, but we're reminded that our words are also a fire, right? And as one of the ladies pointed out in my group, Karen had pointed out that the Proverbs, you know, the poison darts comes to her mind, right? And they're able to either destroy or heal your words. So just with the time that we have, I want to just bring up some ways that you as a wife can be a scorching fire to your husband. Okay? Things that will damage. Okay? And here are the things that you do not want to do. Okay? So I'm going to first with your husbands, and then we're going to take a few minutes. I'm going to give you guys a few minutes after I bring up some of these things for you to pray. If these are some of the things that you're doing and you're engaging in, I just want you to take time to stop, and we're going to pray. And then I'm going to talk about your words with your children, our words with our children, and go ahead if it applies to you, okay? So these are just some things that I came up with in order to make this a little bit more practical, okay? So just to be a reminder, okay? Just remember that you will scorch your husband when you don't show him respect. Ephesians 5, Pastor Tim was teaching from it, right? In chapter 5 in the section, verses 22 and following, it says above all, right, let a wife show respect to her husband, which in that passage is talking about being submissive, you know, to him. But in this way, I think, don't belittle him. Don't belittle your husband, right? I don't need your help. I can do it better than you anyway. Why would you even think that you can fix that? That's not your thing. You don't know how to do that. Why are you letting the kids eat that? That's garbage. Why did you load the dishes in the dishwasher like that? The glasses go on the top and the things go on the bottom, and whatever it is that you find that you are criticizing and belittling, especially when he's trying to do something nice, right? Especially, but even not. Or if you do it in front of the kids. Now we're just going to go for worst degrees of disrespect, right? Oh, daddy's late again. Our food's cold, right? Again, because daddy's late, right? I don't think you are telling him in front of the kids, I don't think you know what you're talking about, right? I heard the teacher say that the kid needed to do the assignment this way, right? And you correct him in front of the children, and you belittle him in that way. You're showing disrespect. And worst off, if you say things like that in public, in a group setting, which of course would be the exact same for us, right? If the exact opposite happened. It's worse in front of the kids and worse if it's in a public setting. So if it's something maybe he's embarrassed about, maybe he snores and you think it's, you know, whatever, and maybe he's embarrassed by it, and yet you choose maybe to say something like that in a public setting. Or worst off, you know, or something maybe that he's doing wrong. Oh, you know, if he paid the bills, you know, we'd be filing for bankruptcy, you know, kind of a deal. You know, just these statements of disrespect. Those things are a fire. Those things destroy. Those are not words of grace, right? Words of grace say things in private, number one, right? And you are to build him up, but if there's sin, of course, then you would talk to him in private about those things and ask him and talk to him if there's sin involved. If it's not sin, then you definitely don't need to be disrespecting him over it, right? Those are issues of preference, and those are things for you to work out. And in front of your children especially, Daddy's home late because he's working hard, right? We are so glad that Daddy works hard for us, and it's okay, we'll heat the food up, right? I know it's inconveniencing you, and I know that's why it's upsetting, right? But you need to respect him, and you need to honor him in front of your children and not say those kinds of things. And also, obviously, in public. You would ask your husband, if it's funny to both of you, then you both know that, and you know that it's something, right, that can be talked about. And so my husband and I, we do that. He's like, you don't mind if we, you know, joke about this or whatever. I'm like, oh, no. But other things I might say, I don't really want that one. And so, yeah. And so those are things that you should talk through. And if you're in doubt, don't say it and ask later, right? And then if he says, oh, that doesn't bother me, you know, if I don't do the laundry or I did the laundry that way, or if it's a funny story about something, you know, that he did wrong, you know. And so those are things you get permission about. And so you don't err on the side of disrespect. Okay, and then, you know, and this might apply. Name calling, right? And so whether it's in your thoughts or verbally, but especially verbally, name calling is always off limits. Always. Okay? You know, you don't say, you know, fool or stupid or ugly or whatever it is that comes to your mind when someone else does something that you don't like. That is a fire, right? You should be known for, on the other hand, having terms of affection for your husband, right? Even if it's just between the two of you, it doesn't even have to be public, but you should have affectionate terms for your husband. That will build up. Third, don't accuse, okay? So many people, including myself, I've gone through this and have had to work on it and have grown a lot, is ask, why did you leave the milk on the sink? You don't know who left the milk on the sink, right? Now, especially if you're in a house of multiple people, right? If it's just the two of you and you didn't do it, he probably did do it, right? But you're still accusing and you're still not asking, right? Because who knows? Someone with a key could have come and put the milk on the sink. So you ask, hey, babe, did you leave the milk on the sink? Or did you leave it out and put it away? Can you remember? That's what my husband's always doing with me with our new refrigerator door that doesn't close all the way, right? He's like, oh, did you just, you know? I'm like, oh, yeah, that was me, right? But it's so much better that he asks me than says, why did you leave the refrigerator door open again, right? Because I didn't mean to, right? And so, so words that are not scorching, right? Accusatory words scorch and burn, right? But we want to have words that build and edify. Number four, don't bring up past mistakes, right? We have Psalm 103 to know how the Lord forgives. As far as the east is from the west, right? He remembers them. He chooses to remember them no more. And if you have trouble with being bitter and bringing up the past, You need to saturate yourself in Psalm 103. Right? If you have conversations that say, this is what happened when you forgot to put gas in the car last month, right? You're bringing up the past, right? I don't understand why this is so hard for you, because this has happened 5 times. Like, you're keeping count of all the times that he's done that. And of course, we wouldn't want to be treated like that, and yet we do the same thing, right? We bring up the past. But we need to bless, right? We need to edify, and we say, we all make mistakes. How can I help you, right? Is there something that I can do to help you for you to remember, right? Or whatever the situation would be, if it's something that's a reoccurring. You need to care more for his soul than you do for your convenience. And oftentimes that's a part of the past mistakes, is it's inconveniencing us, as opposed to you really care about your husband, right? Don't use statements like always and never. First of all, it's just not true. It may feel like always, and it may feel like never. You never hold my hand, right? And maybe that is true, but you still have to be careful when you are using those statements. And instead you say, you know, there's been some instances lately where I've noticed this, right? And so instead of making these blanket statements, when you do that, you are going to scorch, right? Your tongue is like a fire, just ready to attack. You know, always and never, those are attack modes, as opposed to caring and wanting to get to the issue sometimes. And I know sometimes you just want to be heard, but then you're going to have to use words like, it feels like that to me. It may not be true, but that's how it feels to me, like this never happens. And so you need to be careful with that. Okay, 6, and this is the last one I have for the husbands. And obviously this isn't exhaustive, but don't compare your husbands to other men, right? So-and-so always stops and does this for his wife, you know. So-and-so calls his wife at lunch every day. Why can't you be more like so-and-so, right? Scorching. You know, very scorching. Just as much as we would not want our husbands to say, why can't you be like so-and-so, right? You know, and so so-and-so cooks, you know, fried chicken, right? You know, it's like, okay, all right, well, I will learn that for so-and-so. But, you know, but on the other hand, you know, and that's a different thing of, hey, have you ever thought about maybe, you know, doing this? If there's a unmet expectation that you have with your husband, just ask him and talk it through. Don't compare. Right? So those are hurtful things. Those are scorching things. And so if any of these things are characteristic of you, or if maybe some of these are areas that you tend to want to sin in, just go ahead right now and either confess right now, and if there's even anything obvious that you need to talk to your husband about and confess to him, that's something that you need to do today. Or maybe you just need to, you want to grow in grace. And so right now, take the time to pray that you would grow in grace and edifying words towards your husband. Let's go ahead and do that right now. Father, we ask that you would forgive us, Lord, our sins. And we know, Lord, that when we confess our sins, Lord, that you are faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us, Lord, from all unrighteousness. And Father, we want so much, Lord, to reflect you in our speech with our closest neighbor, Lord, with our husband. We pray, Lord, that we would rely on your resources and your grace, Father, to do that, to know that the same resurrection power that is in Jesus abides in us. And at any time, Lord, and we don't have to sin. Lord, though we feel like we have to at times, we don't have to. Father, I just pray that our hearts and our minds would be transformed by your truth in this, Lord, and it would be reflected first and foremost in our home. Lord, that we are the same people in our homes as out of our homes. Lord, that the recipients of our most gracious speech is our husbands. Lord, that they are not the last person to receive it. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Okay, with kids, I'm just going to run through these. These are mostly the same, okay? If you have kids, I don't know, this is loose, you know, five and older, say, right? Don't belittle them either, okay? Or don't correct them in front of their friends or in front of other adults that would cause them to be embarrassed by that. Unless the sin is public, okay? Or unless it was the whole group of them being naughty, right? And then you tell all the kids, hey, everybody, you guys need to stop. That was the wrong thing to do, and you have them all, right? Pull them aside and talk to them in private, right? And if you can't talk and instruct at that time, you still pull them aside and you whisper, you need to stop now, come and sit down. We're going to talk about this later, right? Show dignity. There's still a level of respect that needs to be shown. That doesn't mean that you don't discipline them. You definitely need to correct and discipline. When they're toddlers, they don't remember. I mean, let's be honest, right? If they're most likely 3 or 4 and under, if we were in a group, you know, in a room and I said no or whatever and I corrected them, and they're not going to remember that. Okay, so that's not as much of an issue as if they start to get older, they become more self-aware and they become embarrassed. They know they did something wrong and everyone's looking at them, right? That's just, that's going to be a fire. Those are not going to be edifying words. That's going to burn and cause damage as opposed to grace, okay? Also, same thing, no name calling, right? No name calling. And, you know, even if they are being lazy, do not call them lazy. Don't say late. You're lazy. You're lazy, right? Over and over, right? Do not call them. What they're doing now is lazy. Okay? They're not being diligent. And then you pray and you talk to them about what it means to be diligent. But don't start labeling your children in that way. Even if it is a sin thing and even if it is something that they do over and over again, just address it each time, you know? Yes, I have a messy, right? A messy child, right? You know, someone has a messy in their house, right? But you don't need to start giving them nicknames like Taz, Manny and Devil, you know? It's like, oh, Taz was here, right? The whole room's like, you can tell someone had been there. So you don't start calling them names and giving them these labels or whatever. Yeah. What's that? Like Hurricane Amelia. So I know she, yeah, you can stop now though, she won't remember. And so that can be your little joke with your husband, right? But don't begin to, you know, so that she will remember, oh, my mom always called me this, right? It's hurtful. Okay, again, as the children start to get older, don't accuse them, right? There's usually more than one child. If you're an only child, you did it, okay? You did, right? So, but you could still choose to say, were you the one who left the blow dryer out, right? Or in my house, I had to stop doing the accusing thing and I just had to say, who was in the living room and left the cup on the whatever? So that gave them a little bit more room of being able to say, I did it, number one. And then just, you know, rather than what? Everyone says not me, right? Because they know they're going to get in trouble. So try to leave a little more room for grace there, right? And then again, always and never, don't say you always leave the cup out. You always leave your socks out. Scorch, right? It's like you did it this time, you know? Oh, can you please, you know, how can I help you? I know this is a hard thing for you. How can I help you to do a better job? You're offering words, again, for concerned about their soul, not about your inconvenience. Now, they should do those things, and that's a good thing, but it's not because it benefits you. You need to do it because it benefits them, and that's a process. So in the meantime, make sure your words are reflecting that, because it's so hard when they're toddlers. It's like, why did you do that? I mean, it's just like you're overwhelmed with their sin, and you know what? They probably are too. We're all overwhelmed with their sin, right? But we have to keep we have to keep giving them words of hope and words of life and not scorch them with our words. You are so naughty. You are such a mean boy. You know, you hit again. No one's going to like you. I mean, you know, you have to be careful with not scorching with your words, but give them hope in Christ, right? In Christ, we can be kind, but not without him. So let's go to Christ right now. But there's still a consequence. You can't just hit people. Okay? And then again, only deal with what you're dealing with today. Don't bring in that they hit people for the last 3 weeks in a row. Okay? Just bring it in today and that you're concerned for them. And don't compare your children with their siblings. Okay? Oh, so-and-so always gets good grades. You should be like your sister in this. She's always cleaning up. She always finds. When mommy sends her to look on the shelf, she always finds what I'm asking her to find. And you never do, right? Which is true. You will have one of those. One will be able to find everything, and one, you can tell them exactly where it is, and they won't see it because it's like over here instead of like right here, right? So, and that's how they are. But you don't say, I wish you were like your sister, or I wish you were like so-and-so. I'm going to send you to Mrs. So-and-so, and when I get you back, you'll be obedient, right? You know, you don't compare and other children and, you know, those kinds of things, right? And so you need to bless them. You need to affirm that you love, that they are yours, that God gave them to you, that they are how they are. And that's just a sin tendency they have, or they're not built to see things like their brother or sister, and that's okay because God made you in a different way. So I'm going to help you to try to see things that you can't see on your own. So instead of being angry with them and throwing fire darts at them, you need to love them and encourage them, especially in their weaknesses. Okay? So that's all we have. It's 11:30. And so this week in James 3, if you guys did not finish the homework, please finish the homework. If you were the one in class kind of like writing in things as other people were saying it, go back and fill the things in yourself. Another option would be take James 3, 1 through 12 again and change it to the first person, okay? My tongue is a fire, okay? My tongue. And go ahead and apply that. And then apply also all the thoughts that you should be thinking when you are tempted to sin with your tongue. Again, I am a fig tree, right? I produce good fruit because I am in Christ. I have a fountain in me. I have the key for the cage, right? Christ is my captain, right? Steering the rudder of my ship. All these things. Apply the gospel to this passage. So even though the gospel, in a sense, isn't necessarily in this passage, it always is. Because Christ and the gospel applies to us every day. What he began in the Spirit, he will continue in the Spirit, right? So just with that encouragement and with that, you're dismissed.